There are some people who will even drive 10 hours in the rain just to give a drasha. But seriously, it's a great kavod to stand here once again. It's over a year since I was here. And I looked very much forward to seeing the yeshiva and the avira, especially over Shavuos. So maybe if we can just intensify one hergish, one feeling that we should have on Shavuos, maybe these few words will be of benefit. Every yontif has its own segula, its own special powers, things that the yontif can give us, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Avada and Avada, the Yontif of Shavuos, Zman Matan Teresenu. Avada has many, many segulois, and in Yonim that we can derive and grow from. Let's see if we can grow in one area at least on this Shavuos. But first, let's talk about something that's by all Yomim Tovim. What was the hergish that a Yid had by Aliyah L'Regel? It's mamish, we cannot imagine the feeling that a Yid would have when he would go to be Oyla L'Regel. The Beis HaMikdash was not only a place where one could go and be mekayim certain mitzvahs that can't be done anywhere else, havas korbanos and bikurim, etc. No. Avada and Avada, the Beis HaMikdash was that too. But in the Beis HaMikdash, when a person set foot in the Beis HaMikdash, he could sense the presence of the Shekhinah. A whole year, we're also in the presence of the Shekhinah. Mispalel, Shruya Kenegdai. Shekhinah Shruya Kenegdai. When you daven, when you learn, Asor HaShiyah Yishvim, the Shekhinah comes before you sit down. But there you have to use your imagination to sense the presence of the Shekhinah. The school of the Beis HaMikdash was that you could come lirois v'leirois, to see and to be seen. To see means that you could feel the presence of the Shekhinah as if you could see, and that you felt that you were being observed by the Shekhinah, by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Leirois, to be seen. You felt that you stood in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and he gazed at you. And this was the sense that a Yid had when he came to the Beis HaMikdash to be Oyla Regel, every Yontif. And the Ramban explains that the Oyel Moed was a miniature Har Sinai. It was the Hisgalus on Har Sinai perpetuated at all times in the Beis HaMikdash. And just like by Har Sinai, the Klal Yisrael sensed the presence of the Shekhinah. So the fact that the Shekhinah was in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, every person who came to the Beis HaMikdash felt that he was, stood in the presence of the Shekhinah and was being observed by the Shekhinah. It's a beautiful Gemara. Dorash Rava. Rava gave a drasha. Masech the Chagiga Dav Gimel. Dorash Rava. Rava gave a drasha. On a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Now we know that Shir HaShirim is written in the form of a love song from a chassan to a kala and from the kala to the chassan. And that like all of Shlomo HaMelech's works, it was in the form of a mashal. and marshal on the love relationship that exists between the Knesset Yisrael and Avihem Shebashamayim. And so the Chassid says to the Kala, Ma yofu fe'omayich bane'olim bas nodiv. How beautiful are your footsteps in your shoes, daughter of the noble one. Ma yofu, for how beautiful. What's the marshal? So Rabbah says, how beautiful are the footsteps of Yisrael b'shoa she'oilin l'regel. How beautiful it is, the footsteps of the Jewish people, when they leave their homes before Yontif, and they come up to the Beis HaMikdash, their very footsteps are beautiful. What's Bas Nadiv? The daughter of the Nadiv, the noble one, or the volunteer, the one who volunteers, that's Bitoi Knesset Yisrael. You are the daughter of Avram Avinu. Shehoyotchilo LaGeirim, who was the first of the Geirim, and Geirim, we have a pasuk, are called Nedivim. So Bas Nadiv, Avram was the Tchilo LaGeirim. So that's the pshat of the pasuk. How beautiful are your footsteps, Klal Yisrael, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, Bas Nadiv, daughter of Avram Avinu, Shehoyotchilo LaGeirim. Two questions. First of all, what's it have to do with the footsteps? It's not the footsteps. It's the fact that you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So it should say how wonderful it is when the Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdash. What's it have to do with the footsteps? And secondly, what is the connection of coming to the Beis HaMikdash to the fact that Avraham Avinu was the first of the Geirim? Rashi says, Shenodvay libay lahakil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His heart volunteered him to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody forced him. Nobody even trained him. He did it totally on his own. What's the connection? And I think that the pshat in the Gemara is as follows. And this is a lesson not only for Erev Shavuos, but for every day of the year. A whole year round, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on cruise control, automatic pilot. We get up in the morning, we daven, put on tefillin, even learn, and do other mitzvahs, and very often it's by rote, it's automatic, it's without feeling. We've been trained from our youth to do this. Comes a Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. You don't turn on lights, you don't do this, you don't do that. You have cholent, you have kugel, it's miris. But the total feeling and emotion, the hergish, like the Malbim says in Yeshua, a mitzvah has a guf and a neshama. The guf is the maaseh ha-mitzvah. But the neshama is what you get out of the mitzvah. The feeling, the ava, the yira, and the dveikus. So very often, a whole year round, we're busy with so many things that it's a goof without much neshama. It's milumada. It's by habit. Like the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Yerushalmi, one of the Amoraim said, Achzikna tivusa lareishi. I have appreciation for my head. When it gets to my dim, it bows. Which means I don't even have to think about it. It's automatic. Now, my dim, bowing by my dim is a sign of haknoah. You say, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm weighed down by all your taivas, and I feel so humble before you. But this Amira said, I appreciate my head. It knows when to bow by itself. It doesn't need any instructions from me. And so this is a whole year round, agansia. It's somewhat melumada, it's somewhat automatic and by rote. And then comes Yontif. When the Yid locked the door behind him to get in his wagon, or to walk on foot to Yerushalayim, he would begin to think about what awaits him, the experience that awaits him in the Beis HaMikdash. And he would begin to think about what it means to stand and feel that you stand before the Shekhinah. And with every footstep, he would leave behind all the tirdes, all the daigas, all the distractions that prevent us all year long from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the full neshama. And he would leave it all behind, and he would begin to focus on going to see Avinu Shebashamayim, and to the Beis Moed, the meeting. The Oyel Moed is a meeting place. The Ne'arati Shamal of Ne'is. It's a meeting between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so he would go, and every footstep he would take, he would begin to sense more and more and more, like a person who's going to see a parent after so many years, and when they start to get close, they think only they can picture, they're looking for that picture of their parent waiting for them to give them a kiss, hello. Who is it that doesn't struggle with the problem of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu by rote? That's the Geirim. The Geirim had no training. They weren't brought up from their youth to wash Nagel Basa, to daven, to bench. They came to the Hakore when they were older, and they joined up Klal Yisrael at great sacrifice. Vatazvi avich v'imeich v'eretz meilateich v'teil chielama shelo yadat meil shilshayim. And therefore the Pasuk says, Mayafu fa'amayich b'ne'olim basnadich. Your very footsteps are beautiful, the Pasuk says. The Klal Yisrael that comes, and with every step that they take, the closer they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they begin to sense the experience of meeting the Shekhinah. Bas Nadiv, you daughter of Avram Avinu, Avram didn't have any melumada. There was no rote by Avram Avinu, because it came mitoch hakora. Everything that he did was because he recognized the truth, and he was full of idealism and full of enthusiasm for the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Mesiras Nefesh. And there was no automatic pilot. So bas nodiv, bas bitay shel Avraham Avinu shehayatchilu lageirim. Just entering into the Beis HaMikdash had a profound effect on whoever came in. Gemara says that Talmidim came to visit Rabbi Yeshua, also on Chagiga, the same daf. And he said to them, what chiddush did you hear in the Beis HaMadrash today? They said, Rebbe, Talmidecha onu, umeimecha onu shoysim. We came to hear Torah from you. Not, what could we possibly teach you that you don't know? He says, afal pichein, ein Beis HaMadrash b'loi chiddush. There's no Beis HaMadrash without a chiddush. I'm sure you have heard something that I don't know. Tell me what you heard. They said, okay, it was Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah's turn to give a drasha. And it was the drasha was in Pashas Hakel. Every 7 years, all men, women, and children come to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melech reads from the Sefer Torah. And this is what he said. He said, Anoshim boyim lilmoit. The women come lishmaya. Taf lamahin boyim. Why do the children come? Kidei litein socha lemiviehem. to give reward to the parents who bring them. So Yeshua said, you had a pearl like this, and you didn't want to share it with me. Such a pearl. Okay, it's very nice, but what's the great pearl? And what did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean? So could the Torah could have said, leave the babies home and take a 50-pound sack of potatoes on your shoulders, and you'll get reward for doing that too. No, no, that's not what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah meant. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah meant as follows. There is an intangible benefit that even the babies can accrue from entering the Beis HaMikdash. And that is that the experience makes a roshem in their neshama. It's not tangible, so the Torah cannot write it out. The Torah can say, Anashim lilmaid, Noshim lishmaya, but the babies, they come to give their parents reward for bringing them into a Makom Kodesh. And just being in a Makom Kodesh is mashpi on the baby, although he will not remember it with his conscious memory. And this Rabbi Yeshua said, you had a pearl. This is the secret of my own success. This is what my mother did for me. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yoldosai, fortunate is his mother, Aglik Lechamama. What did she do? When he was a baby, she took him in his carriage into the Beis HaMedrash, that his ears should absorb the sounds of Torah. And that's why I became whatever I became, because the Torah was so natural to me, it made an impression upon me from my earliest infancy. And this was the hashpah that a Jew felt, a Yid felt, when he came to the Beis HaMikdosh. The neshama was mamish, overflowing with ruchnius, and overflowing with his kavas lashchina, that even the babies who didn't understand the experience, their neshamas would sense it anyway. And that's why by the Shira, when the Klal Yisrael said, as soon as they saw the Hizgalas Ashchina, they said, Ze Keili v'anvehu. Ze Keili. They could point to him, to the Shchina. They said, V'anvehu, the Targum says, V'avne lo makdisha. I'll build a Beis HaMikdash for him. I mean, here they are by the Yam Suf. They were just in danger. The Yam Suf split open. The Mitzrayim drowned. Don't they have anything else to think about but the Beis HaMikdash? Why was this the first and foremost thought in their minds, that they have to build a mikdash? And the answer is very simple. The Klal Yisrael understood that they are not Nevi'im. That the Hisgalus by the Yam Suf is a one-time gift. But they're not going to stay Nevi'im. They're not prepared for Nevuah. So they said, Zekeli, I can see the Shekhinah, but it won't last. How can I perpetuate this experience? The only way is, Ve'avne le'makdasha. If you build the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash there's an opportunity for every Jew who's Eile LaRegel to feel that he can see the Shekhinah. And this was the hergish of Aliyah L'Regel. But Shavuos is even more than that. The Torah tells us in Parshas Va'eschanan, Rak hishom elecha u'shmeir nafshecha ma'ayid pen tishkach es advorim asher ro'u einecha. Don't ever forget the things that your eyes saw. Ufen yosuru milvavcha kel yemei chayecha. Let it never depart from your heart all the days of your life. V'hoidatam livonecha v'livnei vonecha. What should you remember? Yoyim asher amarato lefnei Hashem elikecha b'chorev. The day that you stood before Hashem in Har Sinai, when Hashem told me, gather the people and I'll let them hear my words. And you all came close, and you saw V'yahor bo'er bo'esh ad lev ha-shamayim. The vision was unbelievable, was magnificent, was petrifying, electrifying. It says in Yisrael, Vayechra kol ahor, the whole mountain trembled. Chazal tell us, Parcha nishmasam, from the ecstasy of the experience, their neshamas flew out and they had to be revived by the Malach Yashores with the Tal Shel Tchias Amesim. Pasuk says, Ata horeis alodas, ki Hashem huhu elikim. You were shown to know that Hashem is Elikim. Hashem opened up all the heavens for you and he said, Kindalach, da binich, here I am. And the Pasuk says, Hashama om keil alikim medaba mitecha esh, kasher shamata atov vayechi. Did any nation ever hear the words of Elikim Chaim like you did? This was the unbelievable experience of Har Sinai that the Torah told us never ever to forget. Maybe we can understand a difficult inyan in Parshas Yisro. 3 days before Matan Torah, the Rebbeinu Shlom said, "V'higbalto es ha'am soviv le'mameka," a border around Har Sinai, and warned the people that whoever goes up will get skila, death penalty. The Shechina will be on the mountain, and no one can go up. Before Matan Torah, just before Aseres Hadibros, Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Raid ha'ed ba'am, go down and warn the people again. Warn them again. Pen yehersu el Hashem lirois, or else they may break away to Hashem to see the nofal mimenu rav." Yehersu, Rashi means, that's a word that comes when you break apart a building. You take a crane and you break apart a building with tremendous kayak. You pull apart the bricks, you knock apart the bricks, the stones. That's the word yehersu. So maybe they'll pull away from their position. Warn them, because they may pull away from their position. Lirois, to see. Now you know very well that you can't really see the Shekhinah. You can't really see. What does it mean to see? You know that the Shekhinah is not really visible. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Akasha. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, the people cannot go up to Har Sinai. La yuchal ha'om la'alos al Har Sinai. Because you warned us already. You already told us we can't go up. So Hashem said, go down and tell him again. Rashi explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shemizarzim es ha'odom sheloi b'shas ma'aseh. You have to encourage a person to do the right thing before it's time to act, before the temptation. V'chayzrin u'mizarzim esoi b'shas ma'aseh. And then you have to remind them again at the time of, when it's time to act, at the time of temptation. So the kasha here is, are we talking about kindergarten children who we are afraid that when you line them up someplace and they have to stay on their spot because if there's a danger, there might be cars coming, and you're afraid that they won't have the seichel to stand on their place? They were warned with an iser skila. Don't go past the border. So you have to tell them before and tell them after. What does it mean to tell them before and tell them after? It's a tremendous yesod for everyday living. You should know that when you have a nisoyon and you don't yet have clarified in your mind what the right thing is to do, at that time it's most difficult to be objective and to think of the right thing. If you think it through in advance, what would be if I were given such a nisayon? What would happen if I were offered a shidduch with the richest, prettiest girl, but whose midas weren't so good? So if I think about it in advance and I come to the clear decision that the midas are more important than the other benefits, and then it really happens, then I know I already thought this through. I can't lie to myself now. I can't lie to myself. If I were offered a job with tremendous salary and benefits, but it's not really in a makom Torah. Okay, there's a shul there, and this, but there's not really a beis medrash, but I could always learn at home. So if I decided in advance that when I was still objective, but when you have that job offer in your hand, if you never thought this through before, then your mind is working overtime to justify your desire to take this lucrative position. He tells life, Mizazin es ha'odom shelo'i b'shas ma'asa. V'choizgin ha'mizazin mo'isoi b'shas ma'asa. But the question is, what's the temptation here? And the answer is pashut. The neshama longs to cling to the Shechina. And not only that, you know there was a yetzer hara for Avodah Zarah. The yetzer hara for Avodah Zarah, so a subject in itself, but just in a sentence, the yetzer hara for Avodah Zarah, I believe, is because since a person is a combination of a malach and a behemah, a neshama and a guf, the neshama's longing for the Shechina, the person as a whole entity, long Ribbono Shel Olam, we cannot come to in a physical way. Since we cannot approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, we cannot give him a kiss. We cannot give him a hug. If we give him a present, we don't see him taking it. But the Avodah Zarah, you could go up to him and give a kiss. So the Yitzchad Avodah Zarah was a Yetzahara for a God in a physical form. And this was a tremendous Yetzahara. But this Yetzahara was not limited only to Avodah Zarah. And that's why we see that even later on, the Bomos, the Mizbeches that were built L'Shem Shamayim, after the Beis HaMikdash was built, and were forbidden with a Issa Karis, but even the good kings could not put a stop to this practice. Because at least when you did the Avodah, you felt you were doing something physical for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this was a tremendous taiva. And so, a Navi who has a revelation sees a picture. There is a picture. It's not a photograph, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is not physical. But a picture, an illustration, is shown to the Navi so that the Navi should understand better the message of the Nevuah. That's why Rashi says, Onoichi Hashem Elikecho asher hoitzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, by the Yam I revealed myself to you as a Gibor Melchama. And here you see me as a Zakein Malei Rachamim. Don't think there's two. I'm the same Hashem that took you out of the picture. And that picture makes you feel that you can see, almost touch, the Shechina. And so the gaguim, the longing, longing for the Shechina, was pulling them up to Har Sinai with a magnetic force. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said that even with the warning of the punishment of Skila, they may not be able to resist the temptation Their neshamas are being pulled with a magnetic electronic force, drawing them up to the place where they feel that they can have a greater experience with the Shekhinah. And that's what it means, liros. And so now you understand a little bit of the experience of Matan Torah, of Maimad HaSinai. The neshamis were mamish electrified. Our spiritual being was mamish encloaked with the Shekhinah. There's a very difficult Rashi in Parshas Kisisa. At the second Luchais, after they'd broken the first, the Moshe Rabbeinu had misbal for them, and Hashem finally agreed to give them the second Luchais. Hashem said, nobody should be by the mountain. Nobody should be near the mountain. Gam ish al yerah b'chol ahor, gam atzen b'abakar al yerol mul ahor ahu. Nobody goes up with you. Quiet, still, come up with the new luchas that you carved out, and I'll carve on them what was on the other luchas before. So Rashi says, harishainais, the first luchas, because they were with chuais v'kailas, with pomp and thunder and noise and ceremony. Sholta b'hem ayin hara. Ayin hara had power over them. They didn't last. Ein lecha yofe min atznius. There's nothing better than something quiet and modest. That's the best. What does Rashi mean? Does he mean that chas v'sholem? Of course not. But it seems that now the first time our Rebbeinu Shlom tried it this way, this didn't work. So he corrected the mistake by giving us the second luchais without all the thunder and the lightning and the mountain trembling. Is that what it means? Does this mean that the whole Maimed HaSinai is down the tube and was of no avail and of no purpose because it didn't last and the first luchais were broken and they had to be given a second time? So what do we celebrate Shavuos for? We should only celebrate the day we got the second luchais. Lies herein a tremendous yesod for the yontif of Shavuos. Let's explain, what does that mean when Rashi says that the first luchais sholto behen ayin hara? You know, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that the Rebbeinu Shlom held the mountain over them like a barrel, and he said, if you don't accept the Torah, Hashem tehei kvurascha. And everyone asked the Kasha Tosfos, didn't they say Nasa v'nishma? Why did they have to be forced? And there are many tevuchim. The Gemara says, Rabba said, Mikan meidor Rabba l'araisa. You have a loophole. You have a loophole to keeping the Torah. We could say we were forced. The Gemara says, no. By the second Kabbalah Sater, in the days of after the story of Purim, Hodor kiblu abimei Achashverosh. Difficult Gemara. So the Maharal Prague explains, what does it mean that they were forced? Avada, they accepted it willingly. But how could they say no? At a moment of such hisgalus, how could you say no? Imagine that you have a certain weakness, whatever it may be. And for some reason, your Rebbe, by Ne'ila, finished Shmur Esrei before you. Or he started a little bit later. And before he started, he came over to you and he said, Chaim Yankel, stop your Shmur Esrei. You're in the middle of Ne'ila. Ata yivdalta ena shmera ish, vatakireyu lamed lefonecha, your mom is in the seventh heaven. And he comes over to you and says, Chaim Yankel, are you mekabel never again to do this and this. Are you from now on, are you going to be mechazik yourself? And what are you going to say? Shake your head no? At that moment? Of course you're going to be mekabel. Could you do otherwise? Do you have a choice? It's not that you don't mean it. Of course you mean it. The question is, however, when Yom Kippur will be over, and you won't be davening Ne'ilah, and you won't have your Rebbe standing over you, will you still feel the same way? So there was a kfiyos sichlis, an intellectual coercion. They couldn't say no. They couldn't say no. And this always carries with it the danger that if you say yes, when you're excited, when you're emotional, when you're aroused, that when the cause of the excitement ceases, that you may just go back to what you were before. You might just revert to what you were before. Because the real way to say yes is to think it through, to get it straight, to see that this is the right thing to do, and to be mekabel. And if in addition you're excited, that's gewaldig. If you're aroused and you're emotional, that's tremendous. But not without thinking things carefully and methodically and slowly. This was the problem of the Luchas Rishonos. The Luchas Shniyos, the Klal Yisrael was doing tshuva in the Machne, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come with the Luchas Shniyos. They were fasting, and they thought it through, and they realized their mistake with the Egel, and they realized that what they should have done, and there was Miteches Boinonos. But really, they should have been able to have the Mila of both with the first Luchas. Had they not gotten carried away with their Hispilus, had they not lost themselves in excitement, in emotional excitement, they would have been able at the same time to think through the Kabbalah that they are making and make it a lasting Kabbalah. This was their fault. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave them the opportunity, but you must know, and this is the message that we want to give today for Shavuos. You must know that it's the Luchos HaRishonos that made the Am Yisrael what they are. And without the Luchos HaRishonos, it is 1,000% that we would not be sitting here today. That there would be no yeshivas, there would be no Am Yisrael, because the fire that has been burning in the neshama of the Am Yisrael for 3,000 years was kindled by Har Sinai. The fire that's been burning in the neshama of every Jew, sometimes it comes out, sometimes it's still hidden and has to be brought out, but that fire with that roshem, that impression is there in the psyche of every Jew from the time of Maimed Har Sinai, from the first Luchos. And the first Luchos had to be given that way. There was no mistake, Chas v'Shalom. Chazal say an amazing thing, that people that behave, they do dvorim mechayorim, ugly things and not sneezdike things. They have no busha, they have no boshes. Komishein la boshes ponim, biyodua shalei omdu avoysav al Har Sinai. It's for sure that his parents didn't stand by Har Sinai. I don't know if the Gemara means literally that we have to suspect his lineage. But the Gemara says as follows, because Moshe Rabbeinu told him after, when they told us, we can't take this, it's too much this experience. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to elevate you, and that his fear should be on your face. Now, which fear can you see on a person's face? The Gemara says, that's busha. Har Sinai came to give a person busha. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to you. What does that mean? That means that the neshama remembers standing before the Shekhinah. Every Jewish neshama was imprinted with this vision And your neshama, though you don't remember it in your conscious memory, but every neshama remembers. Like a certain person said, a certain person who went off to Derech, and somebody mentioned him, Rabbi Yalapkin. He says, "Don't tell me about Rabbi Yalapkin," he says, "because whenever I think about him, I can't sin. When I think about rebellion, I can't sin. I was my Rebbe. So don't talk to me about rebellion." When you think about standing in front of the Shechina, then you have busha to do something improper. Because the Rebbe Shalom looked at you. He talked to you. And so it was the experience of Har Sinai that kindled the flame which is still fueling the Am Yisrael today. Yontif is for the purpose of arousing once again that feeling, that remembrance of that experience. Rabbi Aaron Zecher Tzadik Livracha used to say, when you daven, you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to you. In a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Chosson says, "I'm lovesick for my Kala. I miss her. Rabduni bat hapuchim, samchuni bashishos, rabduni bat hapuchim. Give me glasses of wine. Support me with apples to give me some energy, because I..." And the Targum in Shir HaShirim says that goes on after Klal Yisrael experienced the Aseres HaDibros, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't take it anymore. The experience is too much for us. We loved it, but it's too much for us. You be the Shliach." But after that, they longed for the Shechinah. But when I go to the Beis Medrash, the Targum says, and I learn the Divrei Torah, which are sweet to me, like cups of wine and like apples, then I feel that I talk again to the Shechinah. So the fire of Har Sinai is still burning. Where is it burning? Inside of you. When can you experience it? Every day. But you have to dig deep inside to bring it out. To remember Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samin. You have to dig deep inside, but it is there. And that's why the Torah told us, Raki Shamalcha, never forget this experience. Because this is the fuel that makes the fire by which the Klal Yisrael lives. May the Ribbono Shel Olam help that we hear and call Yisrael b'chol mokim sheheim should derive a chizuk from Shavuos, that our neshamas should be nischazek in the remembrance of the experience of the Shechina, and before long we'll be zeiche to have our footsteps walking to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. Thank you very much.